the focus of what we're going to be talking about is on kind words. Now, the thing with kind words is that I feel like kind words can really change a situation. It can change a conversation. Right now, I have about 3,100 students working on their finals, and a lot of them do not have kind words right now. We had even a student come in that is now incarcerated as of today because of his not being able to handle himself when he came in to talk to some of my faculty members. And I think of the things that happened during that situation where even other people at the college tried to help this person through some hard times, and this person was really struggling with some things, and just a couple kind words was able to help the situation. So with that said, as we think about things this morning, we are going to be looking at Matthew 12, 34 through 37. That's going to kind of be the foundation of what we're going to be looking at. I am going to add a lot of other pieces to this, and we're going to build up to read Matthew 12 and 34 through 37. We're going to kind of look at those verses, and then that's going to be the lesson for today. But when we think about kind words, I think about this time of year is when people are happy, they're thinking about those kind things, and we see these things that say, you know, kind words, especially this time of year. However, as Jenna pointed out, when you go to the local stores, that's not really what's going on right now. It's more of this. That really seems to be what's going on this type of year. You know, it's not the Hallmark movie. It's more of a madhouse. People are rushing around doing things. It really seems like that is what we see a lot of. We see people negatively using words and turning words around to put them in very negative situations. Or even when we say things, people twisting words around just to try to prove a point or maybe something even political. But we know that words have tremendous amount of power. I just want to point out a few things. God created the world through words in Genesis 1 and 3. Our words can build up and tear down in Proverbs 18 and 21. Words reveal the state of our heart, Matthew 12 and 34. It's what we're going to be looking at today. Fills your heart with good treasure, Proverbs 4, 23. Kind words acts as spiritual medicine, Proverbs 12 and 18. Speak truth and gentleness and grace from Ephesians 4 and 15. And gracious words reflects Christ's love in Colossians 4 and 6. Now, I can't really give a lesson without talking about my favorite verse, especially when it comes to kind words. My favorite verse is Proverbs 25 and 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. That's one of my favorite verses because I feel like no matter what is going on, but timely, thoughtful words are precious and impactful. Especially if they're spoke with intention, they can really change a situation. Now, I really like this verse, but in all, I don't really care too much about gold or silver, you know. But the thing that the world has is that those are two very precious metals. And that they mean a lot and they have a high amount of volume. And they have a high amount of cost associated with it. So when we think about our words and about our words having that high cost and high value associated with it, when we think about delivering words or delivering thoughts, that there's a lot to be said with that. Well, when I was putting this sermon together this morning, I was wondering, when I was in Israel, I don't remember seeing apples. I remember seeing every other tree imaginable. I went from olive trees to banana trees. They're all growing right there next to each other, to all coffee trees. They can grow just about anything in Israel. But then I found out that apples are a popular thing in Israel. Israel produces about 110,000 tons of apples. And I thought the interesting thing is they're grown in the hills of Galilee. This would have been up where Jesus spent most of his ministry, kind of in that area, right? So when we think about apples, these apples, they're sweet. They're kind of like a candy. I know that's Emma's favorite food is apples. And we think about how important those words are. You know, not only is an apple sweet, and we think about the apples of gold and settings of silver, about how valuable that is to someone. So the focus of what I wanted to touch on today is Matthew 12, 34 through 37. And I'd like to read that verse real quick. We're going to touch on some other things, and then we're going to kind of get to the breakdown of this. But in Matthew 12, 34 and 37, it says, "Brood of vipers," you can imagine who Jesus is talking to here, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word a man speaks, they will be given account of it in the day of judgment. For by words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So let's just think about those verses real quick. But let's build up to what's going on here. So in Matthew 12, we have escalating tension between Jesus and the Pharisees. There's a lot going on here. They challenge him over things that he did on the Sabbath. They accuse him of working miracles by the power of Satan. And these events lead up to the comments that I had just read. Because, again, to set the stage and kind of make sure that we understand those pieces as we build up to this, Jesus heals a demon-possessed man here in Matthew 12 and 22 through 24. He heals a blind and mute casting out a demon. And the crowds ask, could this be the son of David? So, of course, that makes the Pharisees very aggravated here. The Pharisees accuse him of casting out demons on behalf of the devil. Then Jesus goes into comments about why would Satan cast out his own demons. That doesn't even make sense. And he kind of gets into that conversation where he leads up to the heart and the word connection that we've kind of been focused on this morning. Because right now, you can think about where the world is during this time. You can think about how Christ is now healing this individual. The Pharisees are seeing this, and they're seeing these things happen, and they're becoming more and more angry. But the world right now is not in a very good place. When I was over in Israel, almost every single tour guide that we had always said that Jesus came at the perfect time in Israel. Right when we had Roman rule going on, the Pharisees were raising in power, kind of a little bit construing the Old Testament and the words about being so strict that they were unable to do things. So all of this tension was happening in this area. Because during this era here in Matthew 12, we have the Romans being in rule, right? We have this group that can just have this extreme force. The Pharisees are a prominent religious group that scrutinizes the actions of what Jesus does, with their strict interpretations of what happens on the Sabbath. And as we know, Jesus even points out some of their own flaws as they're bringing these things to him. They often use their influence to potentially incite opposition against him for Roman authorities and perceive him as a threat to the power of their establishment, which we know led to Christ's death. So we have these issues that are happening in the Bible. And I think about everything that involves with Roman rule, and about how prominent Roman soldiers were in this area, and about maybe how intense it made situations. You know, sometimes I think about how we have it here in the United States. We definitely, from visiting other countries, we do have a little bit more of a relaxed rules and laws. Like, we don't feel threatened going to the grocery store and things like that. In Israel, just about everybody carried a gun. Everybody had sidearms and full automatic weapons, which is a little bit different trying to go to the store, right? And everybody is carrying weapons, so it already starts to increase tension. So we have this increase in heightened intentions when Christ is going around doing things. So just the tension between them and soldiers. And even if we saw a Roman soldier today, we would probably be terrified. Now, I don't think Jacob's very terrified here, but that was kind of the intent of that Roman soldiers in the area. They really heightened what was happening, and everybody's tension were against each other. But as we kind of think through the words that were spoken here in Matthew 12 and 34, where it talks about brood of vipers, right? So Jesus is talking to the Pharisees here. How can you bring evil, speak good things? For out of abundance, the heart, the mouth speaks. So I was just thinking about these verses. Jesus identifies the root issue. The Pharisees are speaking reflecting the hardness of their hearts, right? They're speaking out of their heart, and they have kind of a hardened heart here. When we think about things that we want to say, if we want to be good Christians, we think about those comments that we would make to somebody. We would want to have that love in our hearts. So when we speak out of our heart, it would be those good things and not the bad things that are being mentioned here. I also wanted to point out in Luke 6 and 45, we also have kind of that same out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks here in Luke 6 and 45. I just wanted to mention that because it's mentioned a few times about the way that that is being delivered. But when we think about a brood of vipers, when I think about how hardened their hearts were, can you think about a brood of vipers? And I don't know if anybody's ever watched a documentary on a viper, but a viper will actually stay still and watch its prey, just waiting for that specific moment to attack. And I think Jesus used the perfect words here, where he compares them to a viper. They were waiting and watching for something to happen so they could strike right at that moment. Now, when I was in Israel, they did warn us about a certain type of viper, especially when I went to Masada. It is called the horned viper. That's terrifying. That is a very common type of viper that is in that area. And as you can see, it has a very strict set of horns that come out, the type of it. Kind of reminds me of something else. And I think about how the devil used a serpent to entice Eve. And I think about this snake that has horns. And it's a very common snake in that region. I just think about how this type of viper that is just kind of evil looking, waiting to attack. But Jesus goes on to say, a good man out of good treasures of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of evil treasures bring forth evil things. I started thinking about when I read this, I'm like, do I even really need to define this? I mean, this is pretty straightforward. This is, can't really think of other more things to add. However, I was reading here in a commentary that it's either put forth good things or put forth good things. And the word putteth indicates the spontaneity of what comes from the heart. Again, if we have our heart full of love and things to say, those things would come out from our heart. Right? Because we also have this from a former saying that was just mentioned in Matthew 7, 16 through 20. So here in 36 it says, but I say to you that for every idle word a man may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So we can see that these words, as an index of our heart, these are the things that we say, these are the things that we think about. And if we have God's word in our hearts and in our minds, would it be evil things or good things that we would say? We want to make sure that when we relay things, they are out of our heart, that we make that good judgment, that good understanding when we talk with others. And I was also considering, here in the last verse, here in 12 and 37, it says, For by my words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's also used in Matthew 16 and 20. It's kind of alluded to here in this piece. For out of those words you'll be justified, and your words will be condemned. With that, it kind of goes back to this thought here in Matthew 7, 16 and 20. At least the commentaries that I read, it used this to kind of reflect back to here in Matthew 7, 16 through 20. So I'd like to read that real quick and make a couple connections as we kind of close things out this morning. So here in Matthew 7, 16 through 20, it says, you will know them by their fruits. We think about the fruits of the Spirit, and we think about the song that we sing and everything. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So with this same idea from those last words from Matthew 12, where it talks about from your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. When we think about that, about bearing good fruit and the things that we say, we want to bear that good fruit. We don't want to be cast into a fire. That does not sound good. Every time that we have a bonfire and I get close to throw a log in and I think about that intense heat, I think, wow, you know, what a symbol of something that is so painful, so powerful, is that fire. But when we think about this, about bearing good fruit, I know that we've studied quite a bit about the fruit of the spirits, and about bearing good fruit, and the thoughts of those words in our heart of being that good fruit, that when we talk to others, they're uplifting, they're caring. And even when we do have to maybe correct somebody, that we do that in wisdom and love and kindness, because if we have God's word in our heart, those are the things that we'll mention. And also, just to kind of make a connection about something I mentioned earlier, about good fruit. Fruit's also used multiple times where it talks about uplifting one another's and about those words that we can mention. Back to my favorite verse about a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. We think about apples of gold, about that precious metal. Because we know if we have God in our heart, we think about those things that we have. Because we can pray daily for God to guide us. We think about Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When we think about meditation, we think about slowing down and making sure that God's thoughts and God's words are on our heart. That we have to study them so we know what is on our heart or what it says so we can absorb those thoughts and those intentions. So when I think about that, I thought about here in James, about pausing before we say anything. So as you're out shopping and as we go throughout the rest of our holiday season, thinking about here James 1 and 19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. These are the words that I'm thinking about that are for on our heart. We'll know how to handle situations. I think about those pictures of people yelling at each other and the things that have happened recently at work. Think about how strong words were delivered. But if we're slow to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath, we can take care of a multitude of problems. Because we know that if we do those things, we can turn away wrath. Because a soft answer turns away wrath. Proverbs 15 and 1. So this morning, as we close out the lesson, I hope it's been beneficial to think about the words that we use and the things that we say. And things that happen, especially during this time of year, where there might be heightened stress, there may be a lot of family get-togethers and involvement. Think about the words that we use and the things that we say to each other. Even when we meet each other in the streets or we talk to people at work, think about those things that can be on our hearts, that if we study God's Word, those are on our hearts. That those are the things that we give an answer for. Because if that would have been in the Pharisees' hearts and in their minds, not just waiting to strike like that viper, they would have come to a better understanding about what Jesus was talking about when he came. So this morning, if you have anything weighing on your heart today, if you would like to become a child of God, if you would like to become baptized and become a member of his, so you can welcome him into your heart and be baptized for remission of your sins, if you would need any prayers for the church or any kind words, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.